Let the dew of heaven fall on me. Let's stand as we sing that. Let the dew of heaven fall upon my thirsty soul. You're thirsty this morning? Let the dew of heaven fall on me. Yes, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit come and take complete control. Let the dew of heaven fall on me once more. And let the dew of heaven fall upon my thirsty soul. Yes, Lord. Let the dew of heaven fall on me. Let the Holy Spirit come and take complete control. Let the dew of heaven fall on me.
Amen.
Hallelujah, He redeemed me. And I've been born again to win. I thank God He justified me. Of His fullness have we all received of Him. 544. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again, oh yes, more than a conqueror, that's what I am. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man, glory, and hallelujah, He redeemed me. Think about it. Justified me. Of His fullness have we all received of Him. I'm a new creation. Is that your testimony? Brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again.
Let's have one with us this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
Just remember the ones we got on the prayer list here. We'll go over this, the prayer requests we have from this morning. Sister Esther gave me one. It says, please remember Joseph and Rachel. They're traveling back, so remember them. Also remember her brother Joel and wife Pam. They're very sick, and also her other brother Jonathan is sick. So remember them as we pray. Brother Donnie gave me one. It says, a family, which I presume he means a friend, Tommy Irwin's, both of his boys has the virus. So remember them, pray for the healing to bless the family.
Right.
I got a text that brother, I presume this is still correct. Brother Donnie Reagan's daughter's got a problem with her a spot on her liver. So just keep her in your prayers. Remember that. Still remember mom. She's at home with, give her a special prayer. She's having problems breathing and something wrong with that system. So remember her, and she's struggling with it. So remember that. And I know Lisa's still got sniffles. She's fine, but remember, and all the ones that are still getting over being sick, Al and Anna and, you know, little Rebecca, big Rebecca,
Amen.
Zach Black and Louise's family. I don't know. They're good, but just continue to bless them and keep them on your heart. And everyone here, we just got to bless everybody that's been sick and in the situation. So just remember that. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling. We know Joe and Rachel are traveling. Be with them. All the other ones, Lord, wherever they may be today, come down and bless them. Be with them and guide them. Be with the requests that we have mentioned here. Remember Mom, Lord, special prayer for her and all the other ones that we mentioned, Lord, that are sick or getting over being sick. Lord, just come down and bless them and heal their bodies. Give them strength. Lord, remember the ones that, with a special prayer there, Brother Donnie Reagan's daughter there, Lord, is going through some trouble, Lord, is spot on their liver and they're looking into it, Lord. Just continue to bless her and all be well, and by your stripes she's healed. Bless the rest of the service. Keep us all safe and forgive us for all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Glad to be in God's house this morning. Those who are watching at home, God bless you. Amen. I trust everybody's up and attentive. And, you know, this is certainly a quite a time. But it's a time to draw closer to the Lord. Amen. Just a closer walk. That's our desire. I hope that's your desire. A closer walk with Him. Amen. Let's sing 124.
But Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to Thee. Just closer walk with Thee. That's your desire. Grant it, Jesus is my plea. Think about it. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Oh, if me my burden share, none but singing, just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. It's a daily walk. A daily walking close to Thee. Singing, just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea.
This morning, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Him this morning. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven. This morning, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, O Lord, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, I lift it up, and make me whole. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap.
Amen. Brother Ben.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Fill my cup. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Morning.
Amen. Good morning.
blessed day it is.
Amen.
To be able to come and gather around the word of the Lord.
Yes.
He's sent to lead us and guide us and
Amen.
Deliver us from all things of this world. We just got to take it to heart and hang on.
Amen.
And blow this wind on out of here.
Yes, sir.
Ain't
Amen.
One way to do it, folks, and that's with prayer.
Amen.
Faith. As we read this morning from Psalms 28, it's good to see everybody here. And if we would just speak to the author before we read his word. Precious Heavenly Father, we give you, thank you for being here, letting us be here this day, Lord, to come gather around your word. And Father, we ask and just touch and bless all those that couldn't make it through the door today, Father, whatever the hindrance is, whatever little stepping stone is in front of them, Father God, just speak to their hearts and let it be moved and they can come and gather around your word again, Father, and be with them wherever they're at. And Father, bless all the sick that's with us. You said by your stripes we heal, and we believe your word, Father, and ask for healing for my pastor, for all the preachers here and all the ones that hold down offices in this church, Lord, that make this church what it is, Lord. You sent your word to heal us, Lord, and we believe your word, Lord God. And we ask now, Father, for those listening out there, Father, just let them tune their ears in, Lord, that they can hear your word that you sent for them this day, that they may be fed and their hungry souls suffer no longer, Lord, with the coming forth of the word. We ask now, Lord, that you just bless the service today. Bless all the ones that are here, the ones again that are not here. And we ask it in your precious name and bless the reading of the word. We ask it in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we read from Psalms 28. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me. Lest thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down unto the pit. Also those supplications. When I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands, the holy oracle. Draw me not away from the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts.
Give them according to their deeds, and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert.
Because thou regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them, and not build them up.
Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplication.
The Lord is my strength and my shield, and my heart trusteth in him. I am helped, therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him.
Amen. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed.
Save thy people, and bless thy inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. The Lord is my strength. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Where could I go but to the Lord? As our brother said, this is just a time to draw closer to the Lord, to pray that the Lord will keep his blood around us. Amen. I was listening to the greatest battle ever fought, and Brother Rim said, you got that sword, you just keep chopping. Amen. So we're going to do that by the grace of the Lord.
Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Strive singing, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend who to help me. Singing them, where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, oh, I love them, everyone. singing, where could I go?
Place to go, and that's to him. Amen. You ready for the word this morning? Amen. We'll go ahead and bring our brother out as we get ready for that word. Comfort we get from God's own word. Amen. So let's ask the Lord to open the eyes of our heart as we get ready for that word. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. See you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, my Lord, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted.
See him, don't you? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures, turn where we've been reading in Ephesians 1, And then we're going to read from Revelation 3:14. And just remember to pray for all of these that are sick. My wife still having trouble with her breathing and things, and in her sinuses and her chest and things. So just keep her in your prayers. And all of these others, Brother Al, Sister Anna, Rebecca, and Little Beck, and all the ones that are having trouble with the viruses and things, Brother Bob's family, Brother Luis's family. So just keep each one in your prayers that the Lord would take care of it, okay?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to start now this afternoon, okay? Listen, 1 o'clock, instead of being 2, we're going to roll back like we did when we first were doing, and on the Sunday services, we're going to have the 10 and 1. That way everybody can get back home and doing and everything, and, you know, make it a little bit better, and you won't have to sit around and wait and all, because that way it'll just be the ones that are called out to come. Now, that's what we've got to get set straight to, where it's just the ones that are called to come, like we're going to say, like 8 people, and set them, you know, and you set in your pews and things. But we need to do that, and just the ones that their names are called to come to that, because that way we'll be doing it and you won't be having to wait. But we're going to start. Is that okay? It'll be today now, starting at 1 o'clock on the Sunday service, evening service. We'll be doing that. Wednesday service will be officially starting to where it's just the ones that are the names are called. A couple of musicians, a song leader, et cetera, like we did to start with, to try to get it settled in a way that won't be too many people here, and we can abide by all of those things and do it, okay? All right, that part.
If they forget, because I announced Wednesday who to be here today, and obviously some people weren't listening.
Yeah. Yeah, we tried to make the announcement.
Tonight, so you need to listen.
Yeah.
If your name's not called, don't be in the sanctuary.
Right. Yeah, because so we're just trying to do it back like we was. So everybody got it? If your name is called, you come into the services, and it'll be rotated some to where we can to do the best we can. But if your name's not called, don't come to the services, because we're trying to get everything set where we can do it up here and get it to where we can just have those services and you know, and all. And it's no problem, but we don't want to aggravate all of these things. Because remember, all of these that are coming up now, the different ones, there's more in, and it's more people being affected by it, more families and things. So let's put it back down to where we were, to ground zero, to where if your name's not called, don't come. And especially if you're sick, don't come. And do, and even, the governor is going to try to enforce the fact of wearing a mask that was in yesterday or day before's paper, that he was going to try to get it to where everybody in Georgia will be wearing a mask. So that'll be left up to, doing it. And, you know, if they make it a law, then we must abide by the law, or else we may be subject to be arrested. Because, see, they could come in here at any time right now and just walk in, because that's the police department and they do it. All right. Now, after the evening service today, we're going to have a baptismal service down at Terrence's. All right. Brother wants to get baptized, so we're going to do that and go down and be there for the service. I'm going home as quick as we get through with the service to, you know, be with my wife and all, and try to take care of her. Because she's having problems with the breathing. And so just keep her in your prayers that the Lord would touch her, okay? What else have we got? Brother Richard will be on his way home. Wade will be taking Wednesday night service because we don't have any ministers. Bob and them's limited, and Louise is limited. Brother Aaron is going on vacation. So that'll put it to where it'll fall back to where it'll be Wade and myself for a while till we get things straightened out and get all of these through of how many, you know, days you can abide by it and do all you can do. Okay. All right. So everybody understand. Let's see. Anything else? Okay. Everybody got it. Now we start this afternoon, 1 o'clock. So that way you don't have to hang around and do a whole lot of things. And if you want to push it a little bit, start at 15 to 1 or do something. You know, if you want to come a little bit early and get started a little earlier, then whatever you want to do to where you can do it and all that to make it available for everybody. Okay. All right. We're going to Ephesians 1, and then we're going to Revelations 3, 14.
If they need to give their tithe, just go ahead and give it to Terrence.
Yeah, if you need to, your tithing or anything, offerings, or just give it to Terrence, and whatever you do, just you can handle that. It was handled for a few weeks, and everything run okay. People mailing it and doing whatever they're doing, so that'll take care of it, okay? Father, we thank you for this day, and we ask you now that you would just be with us as we try to minister your word, Lord, and under these awful situations of life, but yet still we're able to exist and be able to communicate and to bring forth the word, and it can go out on the internet and travel to many different nations and things, Lord, and it all to where that the people can hear if they want to, and then it'll be available to our people to where they can click on and we can handle it. If there's anything, Lord, we need any more, we'll try our best to do it and get everything running in your order and your ways, because we're not afraid of this thing. We're just respecting the government, the things, the people, and doing everything to do just the best we can do, and just leave it into your hands, Father. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we've been reading this on Ephesians and probably keep on for a little bit anyway. So we'll just go to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, where? In Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him. All right? When?
Amen.
See, we're not getting back there and nailing it down yet. We're wanting it to linger inward. I don't know where to be the right way, but I want to bring it slowly and gradually progressing into the point of getting back before the foundation of the world. All right? So I hope you understand that's what we're doing, because that's where we're having to go to find out where the choosing was done. All right? And where was it done? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Okay? Now let's go over to Revelation 3:14, because that's the day we're here, the message of this day. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, if you don't understand what we're doing, ask somebody to get everything into order to where we can operate and do, because that's the point. All right. Now, we have been dealing for quite a while on predestination, talking about it and seeing how that God does his predestinating, his ordaining, his foreordaining, how that he does his work. And he does not do it in the basis of doing anything wrong by it, or doing and saying choosing one and not choosing the other. He does it by our own, by our acceptance. If we don't accept him as our Savior, then he will not take care of the problem that we have. But we are put into that order. All right. And we've been dealing with that about foreknowledge. Because how does God predestinate? He predestinates by his foreknowledge.
Amen.
Now that way, you can, as long as you, I hope you followed it. If you haven't, ask me questions about it, whatever to do, because we're trying to get it to a basis of understanding, because I'm a firm believer in foreknowledge.
Amen.
Now by foreknowledge, I can take then the message. Now, I'm not saying smart aleckly or anything. I'm saying it in the best I can do. Because 50 years studying on something, you ought to know a little bit about it. Okay? And we've been studying the message and comparing it and bringing it down. And I see no contradictions in things. I see slip of the tongue. Now, we're going to deal with something today that we're going to talk about two creations. And, you know, to try to get an understanding. Because the reason to do it, you say, what's the first creation? All right, if you've read Christ the mystery of God revealed, you'll automatically say angels. Right? Because that's the word he uses there. But if you are listening to Masterpiece, etc., you may find something else. If you're going to questions and answers, you will go back far enough to find out God was his first creation. That's according to the way you're reading, and see, that's what does it, and people misunderstand when you say, you know, you say, well, what's first creation? I say, God's his first creation. No, it wasn't. The angels is his first creation. Well, now we're going to get into that to try to understand, because if you don't get nothing, get this. There is a natural creation and a spiritual creation. So we're going to talk about two creations, all right? A natural creation and a spiritual creation. God created natural, which would be tangible or, you know, things like that. And he created the spiritual people and things. All right? See, that way, when you read the Christ of Mystery and you're reading and he says the first is angels, you say, well, that brother said it was a spiritual. Here he's angels. Well, it'll come out to the right place. You know, if we'll just settle down and listen to what the prophet is trying to bring and the scriptures is trying to bring unto us to see it. Because, see, we've got through the part that we've talked about, the foreknowledge, that God foreknew all things, the scripture says. Right, and he predestinates by his foreknowledge. That way he doesn't pick and choose. So now let's don't get it when we get back into the mind of God and back on up and oh boy, he chose me. You know. Well, see, we get into all of that. We get our thoughts involved and then we miss the whole thing. You say, yeah, but have you accepted him as your... No, I haven't. I didn't need to accept him. I always was eternal. Now what kind of a doctrine do you have? You have the doctrine of the, quote, basics of the people of this message. That they believe you always was eternal. You always had eternal life. You come with eternal life. You don't need to be saved. You say, well, where's those people at? Do I have to play the tape for you? I mean, do I have to go with you and sit down in the pew beside of you and say, are you listening? Did you hear what he said? He said, that's silly. Well, I'm just trying to make it as silly as I can to where you'll think about it. You're to listen. Listen to what I say. I want you to listen to what I say. We were listening pretty good there the other day. We caught Wade two times on changing the days of the week, didn't we? He wound up making the first day of the week being Monday. Done it twice in one sermon. Well, he ain't but... yeah. Everybody laughs at me because I goof up. You got your day. You're coming to it. So just hang on. All right. No problem. We're just looking at it and saying, okay, let's get it. Let's get everything. Try, you know, to the right place. All right. Now, so then foreknowledge goes back. And you remember we emphasized that part? How far does foreknowledge go back? As far as it can be. As a matter of fact, it can go back so far until it can come all the way back around and make the circle. And connect together and go back to eternity. Right? And see, that way, then we're not having to worry about it. We're setting into the basis of understanding. But by foreknowledge, that way you will not predetermine something. Thereby, then, you'll go with the prophet where he said, God didn't desire anybody to be lost. He wanted everybody to be saved. But said they won't be. Why? Because they won't make the choice. Right? So it's left up to me and you. Not God's problem. Now, here was the last we got to. that the foreknowledge of God then goes back into the mind.
Amen.
And I've tried to emphasize this for 50 years that I've been on doing this. God's mind. In his mind, he knows everything that would ever happen, will happen, has happened, all of that. God in his mind knows that. Well, see, then everybody is in God's mind. I emphasize that a lot because, see, I've heard a lot of people say that. Oh, if I was in the mind of God, I'll be there. Well, that's no more than a Presbyterian Baptist predestination. If I was preordained, I'll be there. If I wouldn't, I won't. Well, see, that's no different to do it that way. But see, being in his mind, everybody's in his mind. He thought of everybody. Okay? Thinking of everybody and what everybody would do, then it's determined by that. All right? Now, this is the statement I've always made. You may not agree with it, but I love it. See, then I don't want to be just a thought in God's mind.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. I want to be a part of the one that done the thinking.
Amen.
I want to be a part of the one that done the thinking. If I'm part of God, and I can only be part of God by the new birth to give me eternal life, making me a child of God. And by doing that, then I become a part of God. And being a part of God, I'm a part of the one that's doing the thinking. All right? That's as simple as I can make it. I've always tried to simplify things and not confuse people. See? See, then I want to be a part of God's mind. Because then I can read that we read over and over. Chosen us in him. All right? Then it's just not saying chosen us. It's chosen us in him. It's got to be in him that's doing the choosing part of it. All right? He chose us. Amen. That's where we've been over and over. God chose us. We know that. But see, then we had to choose the fact of the point of accepting eternal life and choosing that to where we would choose to. We had to accept him as our Savior.
Amen.
All right? And see, then that gets away because if I always was eternal, what do I need a Savior for? See, then you realize that what you're getting back to is you're getting back to the mind of God, right? Before the foundation of the world. And then you're not picking and choosing. You're not trying to do those things. You're trying to just be what he says about us.
Amen.
He chose us.
Amen.
Well, see, then we have to accept the choice.
Amen.
We have to agree with his choice. Amen. Okay. Now, listen to what I'm getting to the point now. See, that way I can think about the point, not of something that it makes me some great something to think, oh, I was chosen before the world. Well, God knew before the world Judas Iscariot would do what he done. But you know what? He had to let him come and do it. The Bible says Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But if he hadn't have died 2,000 years ago for our sins, we'd still be lost.
Amen.
Things has to come from a thought to a reality. So that's what we're talking on, going to be talking about. See, two creations. Uh-huh. One is a spiritual creation. The other is a literal or whatever words you want to use for it, material thing, that it's real. All right? So then that way we can keep it in a straight line. And like I said, then we won't be confused. Then we won't read Christ the mystery. Well, Brother Dale just don't understand. God's first creation was angels. Well, you know what? That's right. Because that was the first part of the physical situation of coming to this way. So I can, you know. See, I can talk to you about like that because that's what I think. But yet, the first creation of God was God himself. We'll read that in a minute and get started. Well, God created God. When did God create? Who is God? What? No, it simply means just why I read Revelation 3:14. The beginning of the creation of God. Did God create Jesus and Jesus created everything? That's what your Trinity runs to. No. He's the author or beginner. A coming forth into. What does a birth mean? What does a birth mean? A birth means a coming forth into. See, a baby is birthed out of his mother's womb into reality, into a world. All right? He's coming forth into. Okay? And see, that's what you do with a new birth. The new birth is you're coming forth into. It's not something you say, well, this is a birth. Don't get the idea when we read these things that the prophet is so massively confused. I'm saying this ahead of time where you won't be confused when you get there. You'd be surprised. Now, I'm just honest as it can be. You'd be surprised how much you can do. Try it sometime. Talk to somebody and just say, what was God's first creation? It was angels. He said, no. Yeah, I got where the prophet said it. Okay. But have you got where he says other things too? Have you got to the Genesis 1:26, man? Where God made man in his own image? But get to point now. Let's start to what we're talking about. See, then foreknowledge goes just as far backward as it does forward. It's no problem because it's reality. But it's in the mind of God. All right? And he can't change his mind about his word. All right? So we covered that where the king asked for time and God gave it to him. Did he change his mind? No. By his foreknowledge, he knew all before the foundation of the world he was going to give that man 15 years. He knew that. So when he sent the prophet to him to tell him he's going to die, that's right. He wound up, got better, lived 15 years, but he died. That's sensible. See, so it's right. The word is right. God don't change his mind. But we look at things and think it looks like it's changed. No. God don't change his mind. His thoughts are eternal. All right. Now, let's just get started on something to where we can today, and then we'll can try to continue our thought. Go ahead with number one, brothers, and we'll, now if we get any problems back there, remember we're kind of short. Yeah, Anderson's the only one on the pole today, so he's going to have to be running this one, going this one. And I ain't going back there to tell him how to do it, because I don't know how to do it, okay? But look what he says. He's coming down from the book, the message called Job. And all right, let's go down. Now, Adam in the Garden of Eden, when he first sinned. Now watch. God had a way of redemption for him. Right quick. Just as soon as he sinned, God made a way of redemption. Now, are you thinking about it? God had a way of redemption for him. Do you realize, this may not mean nothing to you, but it does to me in the point. Do you realize when Adam and Eve sinned, do you realize one split second without an atonement or some way for that to be covered, they'd have died right there?
Right, sure. Sure, that's right.
Come on. You tell me that's not true. I'll stand here the rest of the day and tell you it is true. If there was not something to cover the sin, when Adam and Eve sinned, they would have died immediately because sin cannot stand in the presence of God. You agree? I don't mean the message that I'm preaching. I just make a point. That's just common sense. All right? See, then there had to be something already in existence to cover that sin. Because watch what he said. It's just as soon as he sinned, God made a way. Now he didn't, listen, he didn't sin, run around through the garden and sin and do it in a hundred, and 3 weeks later, finally God caught up with him. That's not the point. The point is one thing. Before man sinned, redemption was already in view. That's why the prophet said, read it on the, God always had a plan of redemption. And that's been through the blood. Once. Ever since the very beginning and dawn of time, perceived in the mind of God before the world ever come into existence. A plan of redemption. I try to illustrate that for you to think. As quick as Adam and Eve sinned, had they not been something taken place, they would have died. Because sin can't stand in the presence of God. God already knew what he was going to do. He already knew the prophet said that Adam and Eve would sin. Well, why did he make them then? Because there was attributes and things that had to be brought into view. All right. See, then there God was, already made the atonement. We look at the atonement as when he killed the animals and put the skin on. We say, well, that was when he made the atonement. He's already in his mind before the world ever begun. Jesus Christ had done died in the mind of God before the world ever begun. You agree? That's what the Bible says. Huh? So then if he'd already died, the atonement was already made. That don't make you think about something, how wonderful our Savior, our God is, that he never waited till we went out and done all these wrongs. And then finally one day he said, well, I better get down there and do something about this. That won't work. One split second in the presence of God, sin would cause that person to be annihilated. But see, God in his mind had done made the plan. God in his mind knew exactly what he would do. He made a plan. He made the plan. All he was doing was waiting on us to make the mistakes. Right? He'd made the plan and had the plan God always. And notice, God always had a plan of redemption. So before we ever sinned, God already had the plan made. He knew we would sin. So he'd already planned it before the foundation of the world. That's why the Bible said that he stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And that was in his mind. It was not a physical reality of the crucifixion. That was done like 2,000 years ago. Right there in Jerusalem when he paid the price. But what if he had never paid the price physically? what would we know it was? In the mind of God, I've always was. You can't tell me. I know it. You can't tell people. You forget it. You can't tell people. You can talk all day long. It used to be one brother, he'd come up and question me about something, and I'd spend hours trying to express it to him and talk to him, you know, and showing him the prophet. And when he get through, you know what he said? Well, why'd he say it? It was always about something Brother Branham had said. You know? And he said, well, why'd he say it? Well, there's no way to express anything to him, so you just finally get to the point that you just say, forget it. All right. But now, listen, God's always. So what? In his mind, in his foreknowledge, he already paid the price. So Adam and Eve was covered by the blood. Then physically, finally, it came into reality. Amen. That he paid the price with the blood. That come into reality. It had to, Amen. Because if not, it would have just been in the mind. Amen. Right. Amen. All right. Same thing with Calvary. It finally come into reality. That God would come down in human flesh and live and give his life for you and I.
Amen.
Now, that's not just in his mind. You want to get everything in his mind. I want things into reality because I want it to be something to where that I believe my religion has a tangibility.
Amen.
No, that's just the way I believe it now.
Amen.
I believe my salvation is real.
Amen.
It's eternal. It's real.
Amen.
All right. And that way then I don't have to worry about it to see whether it'll work or not.
Amen.
Because it already worked. He stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And there's where the choosing was at. Now I've got this with the prophet. There's where your choosing came into being. Your choosing came into being when he in his mind saw what he was going to do.
Amen.
And he chose us.
Amen.
In him. Well, this is why I love about it. If he was chosen, I don't have to worry about it.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
That's right.
Now I know he was.
Amen.
I know he was chosen. Don't you?
Amen.
But the main thing is to know whether or not that I know whether I'm chosen or not.
That's right. Amen.
But I believe it was. You can't tell me I wasn't saved. Why are you arguing about it?
Right.
Ain't nobody trying to convince you neither way. I mean,
Amen.
But just remember, it's got to be brought into a reality.
Amen.
That's right.
See, something real. All right, now think about it. God in his mind, he could look backwards, forward, didn't make no difference. Because he was the infinite. He was the eternal.
Amen.
All right. It was in his mind. Were we spirits then? They asked the prophet. He said, no. He said, we were nothing. He said, we was just in his mind.
Amen.
All right. He said, figuratively, which to me means, figuratively means he's expressing it to the basis that it's coming from a spiritual to a natural. It has to be in a movement form to where that it comes into reality. And that's what we want, is a reality. All right. That's why I said now. All right. So which comes first now? Did the spiritual creation come first or did the literal creation come first? Well, I don't know. I'm just asking you a simple question. That's why I love the message. The message has the answer.
Amen.
It may be confusing to us in mass understanding, I guess, but still it's true.
Amen.
Okay. Go ahead to number two and let's see. This is taken from Christ as a mystery God revealed. And look what he says.
Amen.
Now, God's secret. Now, here I go again. I've read enough to understand on Christ the mystery. Brother Branham covers the coming of the Lord, the seventh seal, the thunders, all in Christ the mystery. Now, this is why I love it. Because he didn't say, if you don't understand the seals, go back to the seals or go back to Daniel 70 weeks or go back to this. He said, if you don't understand the seals, go back to Christ the mystery. Because it's a complete plan of redemption. All right? The seals. The seals, the complete plan of redemption. Right? It's the simple point of understanding salvation.
Amen. That's right.
And what it's about.
Amen.
So look what he says. He had before the God's secret mystery. He had before the world begun. Now, back in the back part of God's mind. Now that's really going back there, isn't it? Front part is what you think with. That's why the Bible says that you can have the mark of the beast in your forehead. Not something stamped up there. Not 666 wrote out. No, that's not it. It's in your thinking.
Amen.
It's your conception and your thinking is in the front part of your brain.
Amen.
All right. Science tells you that. Go read a little bit.
Amen.
See, then it can go back to where you're going into the points of, goes back into the back part. In other words, you're going back as far as you can go.
Amen.
So that's what he's saying. Before the foundation world, back in the back part of God's mind, there was something he was trying and was going to achieve. Now listen. So is that true what I said? He already had a plan of redemption. It already was there. Look what he says. He had a motive in doing it. What was his motive? In order to let himself be expressed. Because first, there wasn't even a moon, star, atom, molecule, or anything. He was God. Now listen to the terminologies and don't get confused. See, he said he was God. Before the foundation of the world, he was God. Now watch him. But he exactly wasn't God at that time. Now, see, don't get confused about the point. Just listen to what he's saying. Because God is an object of worship. See, there wasn't nothing back there to worship him. So you didn't call him God. You said, well, what'd you call him? The best thing you can come up with is self-existing. That's the best terminology they can. Elohim or Elohim. You ever notice Brother Renner will always put those together? Elohim. He'll always lay them into order to coming out to the word self-existing. All right? So there was a time God dwelt alone. He was self-existing. All right. Now, if that's true, then there was nothing back there with him. So where does the Trinity come from? How many gods you got? I mean, if it's true that he's self-existing, then there's not but just one. I don't care what your concept or thoughts is, there's just one. Because there's no way to put two or three in self-existing.
Right.
Who existed before who existed? And who created who?
Right.
No. Just listen. Because God is an object of worship and there wasn't nothing to worship him. So in his great mind,
amen.
Now, the back part. He wanted these attributes to be expressed. Watch it. In him was love. In him was to be Father. Now watch that. If we don't get it today, watch that point. In him was to be Son. In him was to be a Savior. In him was to be a Healer. And all these great attributes that we see already expressed, they were in God. Before the world, where were they at? In his mind.
Amen. Right.
in his thoughts.
That's right.
His concept, or whatever you want to call it. He already knew exactly how everything was going to turn out.
Right.
Satan didn't pull nothing over on God in the garden. Satan just helped him work out his plan.
Right.
Huh? But now this is right. If I don't get to it, I'll get back to it Sunday. You need to consider one thing. There's a lot more to our thoughts of the word Father than to just... Now we're going to read where the prophet said that in Adam and Eve he could be Father. He could be God by creating angels. See, we want to make, you say, well, what are the attributes? Healer, Savior, there was a lot of attributes that could be displayed. You realize he could have been a father of Adam and Eve. He was, because he created them. And you know that was before sin entered the picture. Sin didn't make him a father. See, we get all of these thoughts in our mind, and we try to, instead of listening and thinking. Considering what the prophet has said, and then one of these days you'll realize God did send a prophet.
Amen.
You'll realize that that's a wonderful thing to think of what he's done. Because you're going to get in a minute to where I'm going to read to you where Brother Brown says the first creation was God himself. Now find you a theologian to figure that out for you. Find me a doctor of divinity and let's see if he can talk on those terms. But a simple little old prophet could talk just as easy, just like he's saying there. There was a time that he wasn't God. Well, what do you mean he's been God the whole time? You're not listening. God is an object of worship. There had to be something come to worship him. That's what brought his attribute into display. Sure, he always was God. He always was a self-existing. He always was Jesus. He always was. That was his name. Always been his name. All of those things. But see, to think about it. But see, we talk about, we say, well, what was the attributes? Savior, healer, etc. We don't even think about Father. Father was his first attribute. He did not have to let sin enter the picture to be a father. He did not have to let sin enter the picture to be God.
Right?
So we're backing up further than just, I hope you're listening, because see, most of what I've been trying to do is back you up to where that you'll think about foreknowledge. But now see, we're back in past foreknowledge.
Amen.
Well, maybe I shouldn't say that one. But you think about it. We've already taken one step back past foreknowledge.
Amen.
If you're listening. Adam and Eve made him father. Sin didn't make him father. Sin made him a savior. Sin made him a healer, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, now listen. They were in good. So my opinion, now look at him. So my opinion, the first thing that he made was angels. Well, see, we got first thing he made now. All right. Natural and spiritual. Angels are not fleshly beings. We know that. We realize that part. They're not tangible fleshly beings. But they're closer than just a spiritual part. Because they're closer into reality. So he's just explaining it. First he made angels. And they worshiped him. Now he's God. In another message you'll see that he'll say, he created in his image and bring forth. See, that's what I'm trying to get you to keep from being confused. And maybe finally I'm sorry. I'm as honest as I can be about it. Sometimes I think I do confuse people by trying to make it so simple. Make it so simple. Until I'm just going to play it like this. Until really when the prophet explains something, they ain't no other way of explaining it. My ideas and your ideas ain't no good on trying to explain something when your prophet is the one that's bringing it to view. We can have our concepts and thoughts, but be careful. Just don't let them run aground. See? So what did he say? So my opinion, the first thing he made was angels, and then they worshiped him, and that made him God. And he started from there. As in previous messages, I've tried to explain it, break it down. And now, then when angels began to worship him, that was before there was even a molecule in the earth. There was nothing. It was all darkness. There wasn't no sun. There was no moon. There was no star, no nothing. Then he was God. As he asked Job, where was you when I laid the foundation of the world? See, when the morning stars sang together, the sons of God shouted for joy. See, where were you? That was way back before the earth. Because listen. In God's great mind, he had a purpose. He had a hidden mystery. Now, he had a purpose. In other words, to let himself be expressed. He didn't just want children running all over the place and them to have nothing to understand. He wanted to express himself. Okay? That's Almighty God. He loves us.
Amen. Glory.
Brother's going this afternoon to get through and get baptized because he told me, he said, I believe this is a place we need to go to church. I need, in other words, get his life straight, line up, go get baptized and start from there.
Amen. Amen.
Start serving God to do the best you can from there on.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
Why? Because something is talking to him.
Amen.
Right? He may not even understand my point of saying it, but something has caused him to turn his way and come this way. All right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
See, that's a reality.
Amen.
Okay, let's go ahead.
Amen.
In his attributes. That's his thoughts. See? He had his thoughts. We're still in Christ a mystery. I ask you to read it. And you hear him in there talking about his thoughts, his attributes, his good. And that was what it was. That great hidden mystery.
Right.
That God had a plan and a purpose to let himself be displayed. He wanted his children to come into being. His offspring, you know, okay. Maybe not using the word children, but his offspring. He wanted them to come into being. He had them thoughts about them. And he wanted it to come into reality. He had it in his mind before the world ever begun. What he was going to do and what was going to take place. You didn't accidentally get here to church today.
Amen.
Come on. Right down he says to the present hour that we're living. Now I love that one. I like for things to be present tense. You know. I mean, me and Danny, we can sit down and we can talk about, there's a river up there in Tennessee that, man, you're talking about a beautiful river. I mean, oh Lord, it's way underwater from here to the back of the church and it's just beautiful water running down and just, and you can just, then it's, we can talk about it. We've been there. But if we hadn't been there, I couldn't talk to him about it.
Right.
Huh? But we've been there. That's reality. That's something becoming real. See, I want my salvation that way.
Amen.
I want it to you that way, that you got something real.
Amen.
It's not just some concept or somebody's idea. This is not just Brother Branham's thoughts.
Amen. Come on, brother.
That's right. I hope you're understanding that.
Amen.
If he was a prophet, it's the thoughts of God to come forth.
Amen. Glory.
For us to understand. See, because we never understood it. Come on, church. I mean, I sat back there in the Baptist church and I always did study the Bible. I always read and studied it. And I believed it. But I always had that wondering, how did I get here? What am I doing here? I met God when I was 11 years old. You couldn't tell me there was no God. Forget it. But see, I didn't know how to get to that God. And I kept my travels through time, traveling up, going to church and doing and listening. But see, one day I heard a prophet.
Amen.
He started talking about God in a way that nobody had ever talked like that.
Amen.
No man spake like this man.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah,
and he started talking about it and I started looking.
Yep.
I said, well, Lord, I found somebody that knows what happened when I was 11 years old. Because I saw him. But to try to explain it, you can't explain it because you try to explain it, people, oh, you, who do you think you are? You think you're a prophet to this? No, I just tell it like it is. It happened.
That's right.
You do it. All right, but now listen. His thoughts. There was nothing with him but just his thoughts. Back before the world. Self-existing. See? Just God alone. But he had thoughts. Now we've grown down into it maybe a little further. You know what? He was lonely. You know, when he created man, he made Adam in the garden. You know, when Adam was by himself, you know, he knew exactly how Adam felt. He knew Adam was lonely. Because he'd been lonely. He wanted somebody to fellowship with.
Amen.
But he couldn't fellowship with the devil's children, so let's don't get over into those former thoughts or whatever, you know. Oh, bless God, I always was eternal. I don't need salvation. Well, if you don't need it, you ain't going to get it. Is it any plainer than that? If you don't need it, you ain't going to get it because you ain't going to search for it.
Yeah.
All right? But see, if you want it, it's there for you. Thoughts. God had a purpose and a hidden mystery. He wanted to display himself to his offspring. Now he didn't come to save the devil's children, no. But you can't discount the devil's children and say they're nothing. And, you know, everybody, oh, that's a serpent seed over there. You ever run into them, you know? Oh, that brother there, he's serpent seed. He don't believe like I believe. He's serpent seed. Yeah. Like I've always told you, and I don't mind saying it. I don't care if you run my genealogy all the way back and put me standing right there as a direct descendant from Cain. That don't bother me none whatsoever. Because it's a spiritual happening first.
Amen.
That's a physical happening.
Amen.
Okay? His thoughts. But he gets in his mind what he's going to do. What about God? Sitting down with his thoughts. Thinking things over. Now come on, listen. He says, I can go this way, but if I go that way, then that would be me picking and choosing. And I can't do that. If I go this way, I can do, see, no, I can't do that. His thoughts is not that he sat down like me and you and thought about it. And tomorrow he thought about something better. Next day he thought about something better. Next day he thought about something better. We finally get around to doing what we've got together. He didn't do that. His thoughts is eternal. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. His thoughts were eternal. So what he thought of, right, that's why we can say tonight, if we, I mean today, if we have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we have eternal life.
Amen.
The life that was in God now dwells in his people.
Amen.
We're an offspring of God.
Amen.
Thoughts of his mind. He knew exactly what it would take to contact you, brother. See, I can talk to people when I know that they're coming towards salvation, because I can remember when it did. Because, see, I sought God. Oh, I done everything. I sought God, especially after a meeting back there. And when I got into 18 years of age and things like that, I've told you about it, and you don't agree with it. I'm sure you think I'm crazy. But I'd go out in the world of sin and do wrong and come back home and just feel dirty. Lord, I don't. Because I knew there was something. Somewhere that was a whole lot more powerful than I was.
Amen.
Something was a whole lot greater than I was.
Amen.
All I wanted was somebody to take my hand. What did Brother Run say about Job? Said he wanted somebody to be able to take his hand and take him to God.
Amen.
That's all I wanted. I used to talk to them old deacons and things in the church there. And I was 23 years old as a deacon. And I remember sitting there one day and they were talking about, you know, this, that, and the other. I said, well, you know, they're saying deacons because in the Baptist church. Now, you might not think this is true, but go ahead, check with somebody. In the Baptist church, the deacons run the show.
Right.
And we had the full authority to run the show because that's what we was. And we decided what to do. It didn't matter what the preacher decided. He was voted out the door. If he didn't like what we'd done, he went out the door. I was there sitting with him. And they was explaining that to us one day. That the deacons, this is an explanation, the deacons, in other words, Donnie, there's the pastor, the preacher, you know, and he gets off the Baptist doctrine. See, we get together, he's off the doctrine. Okay, let's go, and we go to him and we say, you're off the doctrine. So you leave or straighten up your doctrine. You know, get this right. He had a choice of straightening it up. But if he didn't, he went out the door.
Right.
Because we were the deacons. You know what I told him one day? I know I'm sarcastic. I know it. Sometimes I love it and sometimes I hate it, but it's all right. I told him one day, I said, you know what? I've been reading the Bible a long time. And I said, the only thing I found in the Bible that a deacon was supposed to do was wait on tables. Is that true in the book of Acts? Come on. Go to that. He's taking care of the widows and the orphans and different things. You had a little, but you really were just waiting on table. Well, of course, they didn't like that, but that's all right. But you see, church, I've always wanted to see God, know him in reality. And when this prophet started talking about him, I knew right there. I knew another thing that I've explained to you over and over. I was a deacon at 23 years of age. Joined the church when I was about 18. Also went through my salvation, you know that thing. Repentance and the doing. Do you know what? When I heard this prophet talking about God, I knew immediately I did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost he was talking about. Nobody explained that to me. Nobody took me aside and showed me where to. I knew right there that I didn't have what he's talking about. I didn't get all upset and all frustrated. I just said, well, Lord, there's only one thing to do. I'll just start searching for you. Somewhere down the road, you'll meet me. Well, he did. I come into this message and all in 2 years in the message before I ever claimed the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Brother Moda, he'd say, Brother Dale, I know there's something. I said, but I know you're not one of these that's trying to find tongues or this, that, or the other, but said, there's some reason that you can't get just right. I said, you're exactly right, but I don't know what the reason is. He said, well, the thing I suggest you do is one thing. He said, you stop trying to figure out anything. And accept what the word says.
That's right. That's right.
That's it. Amen.
that you just read the word and accept what it says.
Amen.
And I walked right into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My wife received it at the same time, right side by side.
Amen.
2 years. Everybody telling me, well, you got the Holy Ghost. You come into the message. And that's what most people think. I come into the message. I got the Holy Ghost. I know I got the Holy Ghost because I come into the message. Well, are you going to tell me that Judas wasn't in the message? Now, don't talk to me about things, see, huh? That don't work. But listen, God dwelt alone with his thoughts. But he knew in his thoughts what he wanted to do. Are you listening? In his mind, what he's going to do. He knew exactly what it would take to contact each one of us. He knew exactly how to contact you. You may have sought God, right? Okay, that's fine. But just remember, he's seeking you. The goodness of God, the Bible said, leadeth us to repentance. Okay? Listen. But he gets in his mind what he's going to do. And that's his thoughts. Listen, that's his desires. Now watch him. Now it's a thought. And then he speaks it. And it's a word then. A word. A thought when it's expressed is a word. A thought expressed is a word. But it has to be a thought first. So it's God's attributes. Then it becomes a thought. And then a word.
Amen.
You think Satan pulled anything over on God? No, he helped him.
Amen.
He helped him. Right? Doing his plan.
Amen.
Okay, listen. He gets in his mind. Let's see. I know I ain't going to be able to get very far, but because I want one thought to get to you. Spiritual creation comes before physical. I'll do this and I'll back up on these notes Sunday and bring it back. We don't have a physical creation than a spiritual one. That's incorrect. You got to have a spiritual creation and then a physical creation. All right. And then as we do, let's think of something. How great a prophet could express something. Go to number 9, brother. I'm sorry. It'll take you a minute to pick it up. Go up to number 9, which is questions and answers on Genesis. All right? If God created man in his own image, in his own likeness, what kind of a man did he create? We know this. We've read it, right? A spirit man. That's Genesis 1:26 and 27. Let us make man in our image and our likeness and let them have dominion, etc. A spiritual man. A theophany for words, all right, which is a body and thing. Now listen, a spirit man. Now if you'll notice, after he had made all the creation, what I said, you get confused, but you back up and listen. After he had made all the creation and created a spirit man, the close reading of this now for the question a brother had asked, he gave him dominion of the cattle. Now see, you look up here and you look at the reading. It made all the creation. You're following Genesis correct. Natural creation. He created a world. He created this. He created that. He finally come down and created animals and things like that. And then it looks like he flops over and creates. But find me a day that he created man. He said, well, it's the seventh. Okay, we'll go along with you. But the scripture don't say that. It's the sixth day. The sixth day was the creation of man. See, because Genesis 1:26 and 27 is not a natural man. That's a spiritual man. Natural man was created in Genesis 2. Right now? Genesis 2. Read your Bible. He created a natural man, a physical man, an Adam. Then he took a rib and created Eve. That's Genesis 2. So what come first? Did he create the world first? No, he created angels for one thing. He created many things. But the one thing is, listen to what he says. Right? God give dominion of the cattle and the fishes and everything to the man. Not the physical man, the spirit man.
Amen.
But in his making up there, he made a man in his own image to lead the cattle, lead the beasts, the field, just like the Holy Spirit leads the believer today. See, he was, in other words, Adam, the first man in the lower creation of God. Physical man, see.
Amen.
But he made him a spirit man first.
Amen.
Listen. The first creation was God himself.
Amen.
Man, that's, I'd like for a theologian to explain that one. See? Then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God.
Amen.
Out of the Logos, which was the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. Out of the Logos came forth the man.
Amen.
But think about what he's saying. God's first creation was himself. Now, I got the quotes here where Brother Run says that people think that God created Jesus and Jesus created everything else. He said, that's incorrect. He said, that would be God creating God. He said, that's not true. Okay, we'll read to that later. But think about it. What does it mean of God's first creation? Was himself.
Amen.
Was he non-existent? Come into existence. Did he non-exist and he created himself? No. Uh-uh. That's why it says that in Revelation. To this day, what is it? Revelation 3:14, the beginning of the creation of God.
Amen. That's right.
Not that God created God. That's incorrect. That's no thought.
Amen.
But the fact that he stepped forth. Now there's a quote in here, we'll get to it in a minute, where he says, out of the Logos came the Son. He said he gave birth to his Son. Well, go back then and think about it. Here's God in the beginning, self-existing, nothing existing with him, totally self-existing. Right? And then all at once, something happens. Not another person gets involved. But he does what he said he wanted to do. He wanted to express himself so his children could understand him.
Amen.
So what did he do? He just condescended.
Yep. Right. Amen. Amen.
Is that simple?
Yes.
Now, not that he left God and went down to God. Another, no, no, don't get all that involved in your thinking. Just think about what I'm saying and listen. He was in existence all alone. And he knew that he couldn't be comprehended like that.
Amen.
He knew we couldn't do that. That's the words of the prophet. He said, the eternal God can't be comprehended by the natural mind.
Amen.
So what did he do? He just condescended. Descended, if you want to use the word. Just be careful, too much descending. But he just stepped forth into another form, which was the Word. His thoughts had been spoken. Let there be. They were material to him. But there was his coming down, his condescended. He just stepped down into another form and became the Word. Now we're in John 1. In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That goes in from Jesus into a natural creation, right?
Right.
He goes from a spiritual creation, man, to a natural physical creation as to human. Well, that's exactly what God is doing here. Amen. He's just condescending. He's just stepping down. Yep. Condescending toward humanity. Amen. And there's no humanity there because there ain't even a molecule, ain't nothing. Nope. In his mind, he knows exactly what he's doing. Amen. And he just takes another step. Carnal, I know. But he's the spirit man. Which is first? Which is first? Amen. Spirit man. Spirit man begins to condescend towards a natural reality. Okay? As he begins to descend, he just takes another step. And he goes into another form. Is that Colossians? Who in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of humanity. He just changed his form. That's what he did. He didn't have to jump down, condescend. No, he just started moving our way. We ain't even started. We ain't even come into being yet, right? He starts moving. And as he does, in his mind, he just looks. And he says, if I make man this way, he'll fall. If I make him predetermined, then there's no way for him to fall. But I can't bring forth my attributes.
Amen.
He's got attributes as Savior, Healer. No. But don't forget the one thing, because we ought to back up to it. Don't forget one thing. When Adam and Eve come into existence, he didn't have to do anything. He was a father. That was his family. He was a father right there. He didn't have to let sin enter the picture to be a father. He was a father as quick as Adam and Eve come into existence. In his mind, he knew that what he would have to do. Now listen. He knew in the garden that as they'd sin, he would have to make a propitiation, right?
Amen.
Through his blood.
Right.
He knew he was going to have to do that. He never come into this haphazardly, not knowing or under. No, he knew exactly what he was going to do. And that's what I said. Then when sin entered the picture, he already was covered. Adam and Eve was already covered by the blood atonement that was not physical, but spiritual. His first creation was himself. He just stepped forth into. Now what did he do with us? He just started creating. Not creating like making something out of something that didn't exist. He just started bringing us forth. And that's what he's still doing. He's still bringing us forth. Going from a spiritual creation to a natural. Or, in other words, into reality. Spiritual. He can make man in his own image. Come on. He made man in his own image in a spiritual being. He didn't make man in his own image. He made the man in the image of animal. The physical man. The Genesis 2 man is in the image of the animal. Come on. Physical. Tangible. Something that was real. But he made something spiritual first. He condescended himself. Now what did, let's see, how is it? He didn't send a son to die. He came himself. We think he sent a son. See, we're still Trinitarian. No. That Almighty God that we're talking about just kept condescending. Kept condescending. Then he come to the earth and he knew he needed an earth. He just spoke the word. He knew he needed this. He needed that. He just spoke the word. He just kept speaking, kept bringing it forth. And then he brought it all into being. Then he just started from there in the natural of bringing it all the way down to where we're at now. It's our Father trying to reveal himself to us. Then he says, let us make man. Who's he talking to? Not to another person. He's thinking within himself. I can give you quotes if you want, for whatever you want. But Rev said he was talking to the animals. How to make the man. Then he's saying he's talking to the angels. Then he says he's talking to himself. That's what I've asked the question. Years ago, there was a doctrine called Son of Man. Everybody was dealing with Son of Man, Son of Man. And I came in here and one day and I asked a simple question. And maybe I shouldn't, that's all right. I was not trying to be sarcastic or nothing. I asked a simple question. I said, why are you dealing with Son of Man when you don't even know what the Son of God is? The Son of God was God in human flesh. Do you realize that Son of God was the Logos, the Theophany, the Word? Was the Son? Read your Bible. Get into Schofield and read a little footnotes for him. You'll find he knew that much. Those theologians knew that first form of God was a Logos, was called the Son of God. He's real. He just started coming this way. He just started stepping down a notch, as we'd call it, or revealing himself to mankind. Come on, musicians, real quick. Think on these things. We won't quit on this. We'll just keep going. But just remember, in his mind, what a wonderful thought of the mind of God. That he could think of me and you, his children. Isn't that something? His offspring. We are the children of God. Right? There's a lot to the Son of Man. Remember, the prophet said the only way he could be the father he wanted to be was to be the Son of Man. We'll get to that one because I've been through that. Yeah. He became the Son of Man to be the father that he wanted to be. The father he wanted to be was not satisfactory with Adam and Eve standing there because he knew that they'd fall. Yet he loved them and cherished them and protected them. But see, it come into full fruition or reality when that God died on Calvary to release that life. To come back in me and you as to be the children he wanted us to be. Adam and Eve never had to go through a new birth. They were created the way they were. But you and I have to go through a new birth. To become the children.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
The children of God. Amen. To think his thoughts.
Yep.
Let's stand. What we got, brother?
All is well. All is well.
Come behind that veil and receive Christ.
All is well. All is well.
I said it. Peace I give you and my peace. He gave us his peace. So no matter how bad everything gets, what the world goes through, we have his peace. Anybody have a need? Just come and let's believe. We have our brother. Won't you just come and give his heart to God and go today and get baptized? You gotta follow him. Huh? Amen. Okay. Now let's just say one thing in despair, a simple prayer. You just pray, and we'll pray with you, but you just say, God, just forgive me. Just forgive me for what I've been and all, and you accept me because I accept you as my Savior. And just make that, that's simple. And just say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. And then just walk into him and let him take care of the rest. We'll do the water baptism. We do the other. But the main thing is you to say, Father, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the life that I've lived and what I've done. And you just say that to him right now and get it to letting him know that you are on him, on, depending upon him to do that. So now let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bring our brother before thee today. He comes with a broken heart. Lord, your goodness has drawn him to repentance. You accept his repentance, that he's repenting to you and saying, Father, forgive me and come now and cleanse me and take away my sins. Let all be well and all be fully done. And let me walk, Lord, in you because that's what we desire. And just follow after him. We believe you and we thank you. Then we'll take him on to the water baptism. We'll go on as much as we can and do everything we can. But the main thing is accepting you, Father, and saying thank you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Anybody else? Simply saying, Father, I'm sorry. Help me. Forgive me. Leave me. Then you can sing it.
All is well. We have heard the message alone, and all is well.
Anybody else that have a need? Remember now, starting today, 1 o'clock, Sunday, 10 in the morning, 1 in the evening, moving an hour, giving you that to where that you can just get through real quick with your eating and things, and you don't have to sit around for an hour or so, and you know, and then you can go right in and sit down and enjoy the services on the internets and the things. And we're just trying our best to be where we can say, well, let's do what we can. You remember the thing, I really enjoyed that, where Wade found of Martin Luther. He said, we'll do this, we'll do that, we'll do everything they say do. I enjoyed that. I thought he had a good thought. He was a human being. He wasn't, Lord bless God, we're going to do it. No, no. Just, we'll have a good time. We'll just have a few people come, we'll have the services, and then we can all, and all is well. Take care of all things. All right. Father, we thank you for today, and I pray, I know that I stumbled around all over the place trying to find something that, to fit some pieces together. But yet, we pray that you would just put it all together yourself in our hearts and our lives because we're trying to be your children. We're trying to think about your mind and what it is. And you said, if my mind comes in you, you will have a new mind. Not a brain. Not a transplant of a brain, but a mind. A soul, a being, a person of what we really are. We love you and we thank you. Go with us now as we dismiss. Be with everybody. Be with the sick, Lord. Take care of everybody. All of these problems and the things that are not the viruses and things. All these other problems and things. You just be with each and every one of us. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.